Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sarah Milliken is here. Let's bring her in. Oh, my goodness. Hello.
Hi.
Hiya, Pat. Oh, my God. You look like you just come out of the shower.
Well, thanks very much. In a good way. Like, in a
nice way.
Well,
should have put some clothes on.
No, I like you just the way you are.
Oh, thank you.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you both.
Nice to meet you too.
Hello.
Hello.
We're just saying, I reckon you've never listened to this show ever.
Oh, really? Is that what you think?
Yeah.
Okay, what makes you think that?
I don't know.
Do you know what I think it is? I think it's because the comedy circuit doesn't really lend itself to early morning radio.
Well, that's very true, but I've only been doing this since I was 29.
Right.
So that's 7 years ago.
Now give over. You're 26.
Yeah,
and you lie about your age to make you look like you've got more life experience.
I used to listen to the show a lot when I had a proper job.
Right. What was your proper job?
I worked in the civil service. And and I should pay you a compliment because you got me through some horrible jobs. So I'd listen to the show on a morning and on the train on the way in and have a really good laugh and then feel like the job was tackleable. So I should say thank you.
Well, thank
now,
you very much.
Well, you're welcome. And now you have a good job, you don't listen anymore.
Well, because you're too early. See, I get in at two. I can't do this.
So, obviously, this is the first time you've been on the show, first time we've met.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you questions that obviously you've been asked before.
Okay.
But I was reading up about you. So you... Now, the way it was sold to me is you got divorced.
Yes.
And then thought you'd try stand-up comedy.
Yes.
And is that true?
That's absolutely true.
Right.
I think some people, like, take to the drink, or some people go out on the town a bit more often, or some people, you know, sort of sleep around or whatever. But I didn't. I just went on stage and told people about my feelings.
Oh.
And it worked.
Yeah, it's a rich vein of material, though, isn't it? You know, divorce and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, genuinely.
I mean, I'm very grateful.
But if you... And were you one of those people that all your mates were like, you should go try this on the stage?
No, I don't have any mates that sound like that.
What,
so.
You must do. Surely you must.
I would get rid of them out of my circle very quickly if they sounded like that.
I think I would fit in very well in your group of friends. It's testing.
It's like listening to a mirror.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
It's like being back home.
But it's a beautiful thing about you. I think that's part of your charm and your likability is your helium northeast voice. But I do. I mean that. I
I've never had helium. Imagine this with helium.
Oh, can we try it one day?
Can we get some balloons? We could do that this morning, surely.
I don't think you can buy helium balloons. I think you'd need a canister.
You can just get a balloon and just suck on it.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
You can. He's clearly done it before.
Absolutely.
I have.
Hello, can I have some helium balloons, please? Yeah, I don't need it because I can tighten my vocal cords.
The best thing about kids' parties, that.
So, are you remarried?
No.
But you've got a fella?
I have got a fella.
How long
that's so nice. You're so concerned for my well-being.
Well, no, just making sure.
Making sure it's all right.
How long were you married for before you got divorced?
7 years.
And out of the 7 years, how many of them were awful?
None of them.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
that's
so
nice.
It came as a bit of a shock.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's nice. Oh.
Oh.
Oh, no, it wasn't really. No, it was, you know, it was fine. Just sometimes things end, don't they? So.
Are you still friends with him?
No. I don't trust people who are friends with their exes. I think it's weird. I think it means you're clinging on and hoping for a reconciliation.
Well, but then to be fair, though, you're coming from the side where you were dumped. So, you know.
Yeah, there's no need.
Right.
I've got loads of friends.
Sure. Why would you want to be friends with them?
Exactly.
Right. And how long have you been with your new man for?
6 years.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm, it is nice. He's lovely. I'm doing all right.
And you're living together?
It's like counselling. A little bit like counselling. No, we don't live together.
Oh, even more sensible.
That's the best thing.
It is. It's, you know, it's brilliant. Really good. We live 90 miles apart.
90?
Yes.
Oh, my God. You don't really like him very much, do you?
Oh, I love him with all of my heart, but I also love being on my own.
Right.
But that's a lot. I understand people wanting their own space, wanting their own place, but maybe on one side of town from the other, but 90 miles is a lot.
That depends. You see, I travel. I'm very rarely in the same night
for
more than one person. You know, so I'm all over the place anyway, so...
Oh, no, you don't do that thing where... Does he live further down the country or further north?
Further down.
So if you're doing a gig in Chelmsford and you're heading back and you go, oh, I could stay at his actually.
Yeah, we're both geographically very convenient.
Right, so he's there going... He's like, I don't know if he's from the northeast, but for the purpose of this joke,
he is he going to sound exactly the same as me?
No, he's going to be lower, deeper like that. So he's out with the lads, right, having a few pints on that. And he goes, nah, it's great, man, because like Sarah lives 90 miles away. So during the week, man, I don't often see her. So it's great. I get a good night's sleep. I'm going to go home, have a kebab and get in bed. And
exactly.
Then at 2 o'clock in the morning...
Oh, no, it's
all... Away, woman, man. You don't live here.
No, we're not spontaneous at all. And I wouldn't knock on the door anyway because I've got a key.
Well, that's,
that's how well it's going.
And that's a proper relationship.
Oh, yes, you put the Yale on! Take the Yale off! Oh, bloody hell, woman.
I like the way
I like that accent that you're doing.
Which
I like
one? This
I like
one?
This, that one down there, like...
Would you like him to talk like this?
No. I'm really glad he doesn't.
It'd be like going out with some kind of Geordie Womble.
It's my favourite kind of Womble.
Well, sure. No, it was the best ones. They were chopped out of the TV show, though. Well, it's weird because you kind of break... You're breaking the mould of the current trend of stand-up comics, which, as you know, is... like Mickey Flanagan, for example, who's been doing stand-up comedy since 1961, and then literally in the last 18 months has suddenly risen like beyond belief. It's been ridiculous.
He looks very good for his age.
Yeah. Oh, have you found helium balloons?
Ah.
Brilliant.
I have good and bad news.
Okay.
The good news is I have found helium balloons.
Yes.
The bad news is that there's a blanket ban on the BBC.
Oh, that's the fun police.
No. I know. I'm afraid it... Inhaling helium is a dangerous activity, which the BBC...
Even if we're freelance?
But I thought I'd tease
you
with bringing them in.
That's so mean.
Well, because I found them and I was ready to go for it. And I was bringing them down for you to inhale, but then I got told you can't do
that. So I could do it on the train on the way home.
Yes, you could.
And I'll feed back.
As long as the BBC didn't encourage you to do that.
No.
You could do that and they just ring us and leave a message on our voicemail for tomorrow.
And it just wears off after a bit. And now I'm a Geordie Bear.
Because that's my thing. My favourite thing, it's always at the end of the night of weddings and parties when people get the helium balloon and they go like this. Oh my God, it's a murderer! And then someone always has a go and they don't really know how to do it. And all they do is talk in a high-pitched voice. They're not taking enough. And they go... Oh my goodness, that's amazing. Look at that. You go, oh, you're not doing it right, are you? No, my voice, look. No, it's not.
That's really mean. Were you a bully at school, were you?
No, I was bullied.
Somebody's trying hard to fit in and you have to pick on them.
No, I was bullied. That was me.
Oh, bless you.
Has it made any difference? Ha, ha, ha. No, okay. No, I'm an easy psychological profile, but I was the bullied and now I become the bullier. That's how it works.
You pass it on, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, what a lovely story.
Yeah. And for those of you wanting to write to the Daily Mail, that's life.
That's obviously not life.
Sarah's new television programme starts on Thursday.
I know, 10 o'clock.
I'm excited.
I bet you are.
I'm a little bit panicky as well.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's just because I'm really happy with it. And, you put it out there. It's like sending a child off to school. Mm. I just hope people like my child.
Oh.
Is it all done? Is it all finished?
It's all done.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did it in January because I had a break from touring to do it. So we did it all in January. So.
Do you tour all the time? Are you one of those?
No. I've done two so far and they were pretty much back to back. So right. I'm going to have a little bit of a breather off after this because we don't finish till May and I will have done like 130 dates or something ridiculous. Right.
Just with the television as well, because you do a lot of the TV shows. So you've got finish the tour, you've got your own show, and then obviously you'll still kind of pop up on the panel show or whatnot.
Exactly.
It must just eat your material, that constant amount of
it does, but I'm quite prolific. I'm always scribbling, so if anything funny happens, I always make a note of it. I never have to sit down and go, I need to write a show, because I've always got a book full of, you know, sometimes they don't make any sense, because you write them in the middle of the night, and you wake up and you go, whistling dog, I don't even know what that means, but it was obviously hilarious or two this morning.
Do you just can't, you sometimes wish you were a comedian in the 80s, when you could literally write one hour and a half set, and milk it for 8 years.
Well, why not even earlier than that, when you could just delve into the big bag of jokes?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Not have to write a single joke ever.
Take my wife, please. Sarah, but that doesn't work. It does, shut up. It's a classic. Oh, my mother-in-law, you're not married. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be allowed in, because women weren't allowed in working men's clubs anyway.
That's
so
true.
I'd have to work, I don't know, I'd have to work on the cloakroom or something.
Yeah.
Just chuck a couple of jokes in when people went past.
You'd be the wacky one.
Yeah. The joke cloakroom.
Is this your court? Ask. I saw a court once. Thanks for just giving the bloody pound. Yeah, here's your pound.
Here's your ticket, love.
So the show starts on Thursday at 10 o'clock on BBC Two.
That's right.
So on BBC One and ITV, there's only boring news. If you've watched the news earlier, you don't need to watch it again.
Yeah, and you could probably learn something from my show as well.
There
so,
you go.
I mean, not news, but, you know, just as useful things like how to flirt. I mean, that's sort of news in itself.
Is that, does that come from you? How do these...
No. We have, in the first episode, we have Tracy Cox, the...
Sexpert.
Sexpert, yes.
I love the fact that Tracy Cox is a sexpert. Mm. I love that.
What a great surname for a sexpert.
Oh, like Leaky Jones, the plumber. It's like something out of a cartoon, isn't it?
Or Charles Dickens.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. Were there many sexperts in the Charles Dickens book?
It's littered.
I didn't know. Well,
littered.
I've got to read
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. Mm.
I've got to read up.
Dickens here, Dickens there.
Oh, hey, there you go. So filmed in front of an audience, 30-minute show with some of Sarah's hilarious and high-pitched stand-up, inspired by what she's seen on television. And from what I was reading, because I haven't obviously seen it yet, and I was reading, it's the notes that I had on you were like combinations of genre for show. And one of them was, off the top of my head, was it like nature and weather? Or no,
was it wildlife and relationships or something?
This is the first one, is wildlife and dating, because those shows are very similar, really, aren't they?
You don't really want to cross them, though, do you?
Well, yeah.
Wildlife and dating. Well, yeah, I suppose so.
I mean, I know so in certain remote places.
But... Take Me Out is a little bit like watching Crufts
on
Saturday
sometimes.
Night. Sorry, Pat. Oh, yeah, but don't know. Please, seriously.
It's brilliant. I love it.
I know it's brilliant, but still... I like my coffee paddy black
in a jar
with a spoon sticking out of it. Paddy.
It is a perfect Saturday night in, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's brilliant.
But do you not think it's time for a new kind of dating show? Do you not think maybe...
Apparently there is a new contender on the block.
Do you not think, Sarah, that's what the country needs? Is a new dating show?
I think so.
That's completely different to Take Me Out in every way, shape or form. Apart from the fact that it's a dating show with boys and girls on it. Anyway.
Yeah, I think it's time.
Yeah, thanks.
You should do something about that.
Yeah. Well, funny you should say that.
You had the machine that could make that happen.
Yeah, I do.
Do
it's
you?
Magic, yeah. All right, well, look, it's 8:32 already, so let's do the news.
Okay.
And then we'll play a couple of songs, then we'll come back and we'll chat more with the lovely Sarah Millican. There she is. And congratulations, you won a comedy award.
Yes, I'm officially a queen.
And you weren't there?
No, I was gigging, I was working. But I haven't, and I didn't get a crown, you don't get a sash. Nobody told me this. I've just got a bit of perspex, but it's, you know.
But it's nice, though.
Oh, it's lovely. Oh, no, I'm thrilled.
And where is it?
I might just make my own sash.
Where is the award?
It's just on a shelf.
Where?
Really high up at the top of a bookshelf in my living room.
Is it on its own or with a couple of other awards?
No, it's just on its own with other books and things. I try and sort of slot them in so that...
Subtle. So people don't...
Exactly. So people go, what's this clear perspex book? Look what you won!
Clever.
Yeah. But I don't really invite people around. I should invite them around more. If not, you know, just to look at my bookshelf and then they can leave again.
You can stand next to the bookshelf and yawn and point with a finger. Award. See that? Comedy award. When I moved house, I didn't know what to do. I had loads of awards kind of scattered and I didn't know what to do with them. So I put them, I've got a spare bathroom. So I thought, I'm going to put them all in the spare bathroom. So the length of a shelf, I've put them in. So next to, like, I've got like a GQ award and a Variety Club of Great Britain award and then some hand wash. And then I've got.
But it's strange, though, because when you go around to your house, you stand there and you go, I'm having a wee in the toilet owned by someone who's won a GQ Man of the Year award.
Yeah, but doesn't it just look like your bathroom's amazing? You know, you go in a public toilet and they've got awards up on the wall saying this is the best public toilet 2005. Maybe that's what it looks like. You've got the best toilet ever.
Mm. Well, the thing is as well, because I like the fact that it's so ridiculous that it looks silly. But if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have anything to put in the spare bathroom apart from literally
soap,
hand wash, moisturiser and a towel. Mm. And that, there'd be nothing else in there. What?
Moisturiser?
A guest bathroom.
He's very new, man.
Isn't he? Mm. Aren't you metrosexual?
Yeah, but it's a guest bathroom.
So you only bring people around to moisturise? Is that the rule?
No, but if they want to moisturise, they can.
They can bring their own, quite frankly.
I didn't moisturise today, don't.
It's a lot to carry with you, surely, to moisturise all the time.
Yeah, but I carry moisturiser.
Oh,
I carry everything. I've got earplugs and all sorts. I've got a torch. I carry a torch.
Really?
Yes.
In case of what?
In case it goes dark. What do you think, in case of what?
When are you ever going to use it?
So the hotel lights all go out and I'm stuck. Or so my car breaks down and I'm stuck. I've got a torch.
How big's the torch? Is it a little pocket torch?
It's a little one, but it's powerful.
So if the car breaks down, you've got a little tiny torch.
It's powerful,
Can you change your tyre?
Just because things are little doesn't mean they're not powerful.
Absolutely, Alad.
But do you know how... Are you good with cars?
No, but I'm good with torches.
Right, so all that'll happen is your car will break down and instead of not knowing what's gone wrong in the dark, you'll be like, I don't know what's wrong, but I've got a torch.
But I'll be able to shine my torch in my bag and find my my phone and find my card for AA or AC, whatever, and give them a ring and get it sorted. And without that, you know, I'd be shining my phone on things. And it's not as effective. You're just jealous because you've not thought of carrying a torch with you.
I'm an idiot, Sarah.
You are.
What a dumbass.
It's because we don't have bags.
The amount of times I've gone in somewhere and I've left and it's been dark and I've been walking into lampposts, falling over in the street.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, you're welcome. I feel like I've changed your life just in a tiny way.
You really have. I'm going to go and get
myself an essential item now, a torch.
Yeah. I'm getting myself a torch. Right, let's do the news. You watch the sales of torches are going to come through the roof there.
The new Sarah Millican handbag torch.
Oh, yeah, build in.
Listen, watch, share.
This is BBC
Radio 1.
Right, more from Sarah in a bit. Let's get the news to sport with Dom and Tina. 8:36.
News beat.
And the main news this morning, Amy Winehouse's dad, Mitch, says all... It's 8:39 now.
Hi there. We loved the news. That was brilliant.
Did you enjoy all of it?
Yes.
Nice news.
Sarah was just going... That's great hearing the news.
It's so informative and entertaining.
What was your favourite bit?
When it finished.
Oh, yeah. Thanks very much. Yeah, that's nice, isn't it? Yeah.
But what she means is that she can look back at how great you read the news.
I know, absolutely. Thank you, Sarah. That's very nice of you.
You're welcome, love.
You know, see? One big happy family. Mm.
Yeah.
We can't see you on the cameras, Dom and Tina.
Oh, can't you?
We have to go. We're going to buy a Sarah Millican torch. I'm just going to go and get one now.
You could sell them in the foyer, couldn't you, at gigs?
Yeah, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
It's a good idea.
That is a great idea.
Yeah.
That's really clever.
I know we're joking, but I'm writing it down.
Do you sell cakes at gigs?
No, we don't. We do sell... We have mugs and programmes and the usual sort of things. We've got a pen. You know the tip and strip pens?
Yeah.
And all it does is when you tip it, my cardie comes off.
Oh! And what's underneath?
Clothes. Just cardie on, cardie off.
Nice.
It's enough for some people.
You can have the torch with your... You know, like the Batman beams where they sort of, you can get your face on there and then when people shone it up into the air, your face would appear.
And I'd have to go and solve crimes then, whatever the crime was. Yep.
You get to one with your face and one with cake.
Yeah, that would work.
And if you get a picture of you on your torch like this, you could get two and you can make you eat the cake on a wall.
If you had that much time.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. That's one for the job seekers.
Hang on a second, Sarah, they're buying a torch for the comedy gig. They've got time, trust me. They're instantly having to get back to the nuclear power station to work in the morning. Right, so let's play a jingle and then we'll come back. Sarah's show is on Thursday night at 10 o'clock on BBC Two on the BBC. So you must tune in and watch Sarah on the BBC, on the mighty BBC. The Sarah Millican television programme. It's a great name. And it's on Thursday night at 10 o'clock on the BBC Two.
Whatever you are doing, wherever you may be, this is the Chris Moore Show, and it's on the BBC. We do our best to cheer you up with fun and laughs each morning. It's a problem-free philosophy to stop you all from yawning.
Right, Nicki Minaj and a bit of Olly Murs coming up.
Chris Moyle Show.
You love Nicki Minaj, don't you?
I do like one of them.
Right.
One of the songs.
BBC Radio 1.
But not this one, though. Not this one.
Oh. Red one.
Olly Murs and Dance With Me Tonight on Radio 1. Do you like a bit of Olly Murs? I bet you do.
Which bit? Being specific?
Well, all of it.
I like him a lot.
What kind of songs do you like? What music do you like?
I like kind of... My favourite song is Cliff Richard's Wired for Sound. So, should I get out now?
Well, no, but I see, I can't.
So you can appreciate the beach in Cliff Richard.
Because my mum's a massive Cliff fan.
I love that 80s period of Devil Woman and all of that.
Oh, see, now I obviously, like yourself, I'm too young to remember it, but in the retro way, we went back and discovered this music.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. of course.
Wired for Sound, I believe, the video was shot in Milton Keynes.
No, really?
I'm almost
what, in the shopping centre?
I'm sure it's outside the shopping
centre. Really?
Center.
Because he's got his massive Walkman, hasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
And his roller skates.
Roller skates, that's right.
Because that's how you operate in Milton Keynes.
And if you live in Milton Keynes or you've ever been to the shopping centre, you should Google the video. Have a look on YouTube, it'll be there.
Oh, I'm going
to
look now.
And there he is. I think he's got the headphones that were like a radio.
I see.
That is a great fact about Milton Keynes. I'm going to look into that.
Yeah. I know loads of facts about Milton Keynes. I lived there. Not only did I live in Milton Keynes, but also, for my sins, used to compare a comedy club there for a while.
Ah.
So I know every joke there is to know about roundabouts. I am literally an encyclopedia of roundabout jokes. I've heard the best and the worst from some of the best and worst stand-up comedians of the mid to late 90s about roundabouts.
You could apply that repertoire, though, to any new town, couldn't you? You know, you could use it anywhere.
Mate, predominantly Milton Keynes, though.
Yeah.
But it's the same as if you go to Nottingham, somebody will always pull you aside and go, don't do anything about Robin Hood. We've heard them all. So you just have to go in and just do your own jokes. Mm. Don't do anything local. Mm. They don't like it.
Well, what I always found was amazing was the people who went to the comedy club were pretty much the same faces every week.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get someone come and they go, oh, Milton Keynes, there's a lot of roundabouts here, isn't there? And rather than the audience go, oh, here we go, it's another bloody roundabout joke. They'd all go, yeah.
But isn't that odd, though?
They'd almost be like, give us a new one.
But they're paying their money for some other touring act to come and take the mick out of their town, really, aren't they? Week upon week.
But if, as Sarah will tell you, though, I'm sure there's a way of doing it. Right, I would imagine a bad way is to come on stage in, let's say, Nottingham and go, this place is a crap hole, isn't it? I'd imagine that doesn't go down well. But a clever observation would probably be appreciated.
But I'm always just really positive. I think it's just really nice to be positive. Like on Twitter, I always flirt with the town that I'm going to. So I always do rubbish flirting with the whole place. And I'll flirt with the whole town. And it's just a daft thing to do. But it's always nice to be positive about places because, you know, nice people live there.
Mm. Ah, so you'll write something like, just arriving in Leeds on that cheeky little one-way system. It's great to be back.
Because that's why you call it rubbish flirting.
Yeah.
Because then you can get away with it being rubbish.
Right, okay. So where you were gigging last night?
I just did a couple of new material gigs in London, but I was in Liverpool on tour on Sunday.
Right, and where is it where you play next?
I'm at Warwick Arts Centre tomorrow. And,
right.
And then, yeah, it just carries on until the 2nd of May.
Wow.
And then I've got dates again in October, so it's quite busy.
Now, will that be new stuff in October?
No, October's the same tour. It's just sort of an extension, just another 10
break.
Dates. Yeah, absolutely. I'm having a break, and then I'm not touring again until next year.
Mm.
I get to have a bit of time off, and I'm going to grow some tomatoes and paint a wall. I've got plans.
Listen, don't let it all go to your head and go rock and roll now, will you?
I could paint some tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. My God. She's
letting grow a wall.
She's changed. That's it now. Look at this.
Do you not find it odd, though, being in a different bed every night? I mean, on tour.
Wow. Judgy.
No,
wow. That flirting's going down better than you think.
In terms of being a touring artiste.
No, because I'm sort of used to it now.
Being a touring artist doesn't make it sound any better, really, does it?
No, I'm sort of used to it now. It does mean that sometimes I'll come back to my flat and I can't remember which side the light switch is on, which is really bad. And I sometimes think I might put my toilet roll to a point so that it feels more like home.
Nice.
And that's when you know you've been touring too long.
Put a little chunk of a Yorkie chunk on the pillow before you leave.
Exactly.
But are you one of those people that if you can get home after a gig, you will?
Yes, absolutely.
You'd rather
I was
get home
on Sunday for 3 hours in the afternoon, and it was worth it, absolutely worth it, just to sit on my sofa and to, you know, put me washing in, get me washing out, tidy up a little bit and just sit on my sofa, and it's absolutely worth it to do it every now and again.
See, you're the same as me, Dave. We kind of like going away. When we have to do a tour for the show, when we go away, we love it. We kind of get out and, you know,
So like a short period of time, though. It's just an intensive little week away or 3 or 4 days away, and it's fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if that's your lifestyle.
If that was the norm,
And with the tour, because the tour is about sort of 6-7 months, and then you do the Edinburgh Festival festival, and then I do previews before that. So you're talking sort of 8, 9, 10 months of the year sometimes that you're on the road. So it's you know, my holiday is home. Often, because it was funny, I said to my boyfriend, should we go on holiday? And sometimes he says, what, and stay in hotels and drive somewhere? It just feels like work, you know. So it's quite nice just to be sitting on the sofa for a few days. I love it. Spot welded.
Now, listen, let me ask you this. Oh, a couple of things. Number one, we got an email from Emily Reed, which says, hello, Sarah and Chris. I have an interview in London today to get into university, and I am terrified. But I would feel much better if the lovely Sarah said good luck to me. And that's Emily May from Tunbridge Wells.
Well, best of luck to her. But she needs to know as well, I think, that it's not the be-all and end-all, because I didn't go to university.
There you go.
I'm doing all right.
Brilliant.
So.
That's the advice that you need to be given.
No, it's you try hard.
Takes the pressure
but,
off.
Well, I think you try hard, but it's not the, you know, it's like when people's A-level results come out and everybody panics and you think, yeah, but you can always resit them. You can always do something else. You know, it's not the be-all and end-all. So right. That's what the attitude you should go in. It would be great.
Well,
it's not everything.
I slightly disagree because I went to Oxford, but I think that
what for a day trip?
Yeah,
it was a court appearance.
I didn't even go to college, let alone uni.
Exactly, you're doing all right.
I'm doing all right. I don't even understand when people used to have their conversations about uni life. I'm like, I didn't even know what they were talking about, let alone feel as though I was missing out on some crazy lifestyle.
No, I don't. I just worked.
See, for me, I got all the best bits of uni without the debt because I was still eating pizza 4 nights a week.
Yeah, you were. Well, up until about a year ago.
And getting up at 10 o'clock in the morning to go to work.
And never hoovering.
Yeah.
You can do that with a job.
I don't want to show off, but when I was living at home with Mum and Dad and working in-store at Radio Top Shop, the DJ bit didn't start till 11, so I was getting up at 10, so
yeah,
it was
perfect.
A double.
Student hours.
I had a student life, but with a regular income, $2.93 an hour, so I was happy.
And you didn't have to go to 4 hours of lectures a week.
Right. But then they wanted the Radio Top Shop to start when the shop opened, and that was a nightmare. I had to be in for 8:30 then, or a minute to 9.
God, what did you talk about at that time in the morning?
It's just the same thing you talk about at 3 in the afternoon. Good morning, welcome to Top Shop. It's 9:05. You're shopping at this time in the morning?
I never thought that was a real person when I heard that. I just assumed it was a recording. That was played all the time. Sorry about that.
I did it in Leeds. There was a studio and everything.
Really?
Does it still exist now?
Studio?
Mm.
I think that's slightly ridiculous.
I tell you what. I did the tour. I did Radio Top Shop Leeds. That was my gig. Mm-hmm. And then I filled in Eldon Square for 3 days.
Oh my God, I might have heard you.
Right. And then, because I was staying there for 3 or 4 days, whatever it was, I stayed with a DJ who was Radio Top Shop at the Metro Centre.
Oh my
so
God.
So I used to finish at Eldon Square, get the shuttle bus over to the Metro Centre, go and see Matty, and then he'd finish his shift because it was late night shopping at the Metro Centre, and then I would go back to his.
Wow, I probably heard you then.
Crazy times.
Oh, bless you.
And if you're dragging a blouse at the moment, why not finish it off with a lovely pair of shoes? It's Jason Donovan, Too Many Broken Hearts.
You should have said nice things to the people who are in the Top Shop changing rooms trying to get in clothes, but getting stuck because they're normal size.
Calling for assistance for cubicle number 4.
Well, you could see in. You could see in.
Oh,
well,
no.
You couldn't see in.
No, that's
you
could
see.
Oh, really?
You couldn't
like
see
this.
In, but you could see. There's like, the walk-in bits, the fitting rooms, and then you'd take a left and that's where all the cubicles were. So what you'd see, and the studio was suspended from the ceiling, so you'd go up a little step ladder to get in. So you'd be sitting there all day and you'd look out, and what you'd see is, you'd see the girl go in and her mate hover.
Yeah. Mm.
And then the other girl would come out and go, what do you think? And her mate would go, yeah. Thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever.
You come out and do your twirl.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you'd come on and go, you look cracking in the grey, my darling.
Oh my
like that.
God, that's so creepy. That is so creepy.
That's dark, isn't it? Do you not think?
I once got stuck in a dress in the changing room.
No.
Yeah, and I had to go and get a lady to come and help me. She had to cut me out of it. Yeah. I'm glad you weren't there then.
Want some scissors, my darling?
Exactly. People ringing for the fire brigade.
You should have got the next size up, love.
Oh, man. Well, listen, lovely to see you.
And you.
The show is on Thursday night on BBC Two at 10 o'clock. Please, everybody, tune in, because it's Sarah's first ever TV show.
Yes.
It's her own show.
It's exciting.
It's very exciting. How have you come a long way? How have you done well?
I know. I've been doing this for months.
Yeah. Literally, she started in November, and here she is. Now, before you go, there's one thing I need to ask. So, and you are on the Twitter as well, aren't
yes,
you?
I am. Right. Sarah Millican 75.
Why 75?
Because that was her favourite year of
Twitter. Yeah, silly.
because I'm 36.
Was Sarah Millican taken?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
There's another lady gets messages, I think.
Oh, no, really?
People. Yeah, yeah, probably. I don't think she's been on for a long time. I think she got sick.
But she doesn't pretend to be you.
No, 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 right. No. She just happens to have the same name. So 75 it is.
Bless you. Mm. I'm doing something today for the first time, which I believe you have done. And I was wondering if there's any advice or tips you can give me, because this afternoon I'm doing Loose Women.
You're doing them? Doing it?
Doing the show.
Doing the show.
I am doing the Loose Women.
Oh, you've not been on before?
Never.
Are you nervous?
I'm not nervous. I just...
Are you nervous?
Yeah, he is a bit nervous.
No, I'm really not. I'm actually very much looking forward to it. The only thing I'm concerned about is my kind of feminine side is going to come out.
They'll make you cry.
And it might overflow. I don't know if they'll make me cry, but they might get me going on about how expensive women's bras are, and that is outrageous in this day and age.
A good thing to do is when you first come out and you do your little wave, and then go down and you can kiss all of the women. You can kiss them all on the cheek, and you know.
Oh,
and
okay.
But we had Usher on when I was on the panel, and right. And I moved my and I was thinking, Usher, he seems like a nice fella, but he doesn't really do anything for me. And then he came, and I moved my head too far, and he kissed my neck.
Oh.
And I was just giggly for the rest of the interview. So you could just kiss all of their necks, and that'll just throw.
I won't do all.
It's
of
a
the
bit
necks.
Creepy though when that happens.
I might pick one person and kiss
just
their
one,
neck.
One neck. Oh no, but then they'll feel left out. You have to do all.
Yeah,
necks
but if
on
I do
necks.
All the necks, is that not a little bit territorial? Is that not I come out and go, "Hello, my darling"?
I think that's a bit. I don't know. Is that not a bit creepy?
Well, somebody texted my boyfriend and said, "Do you know Usher has just kissed your girlfriend on her neck?" And he went, "Yes." She's just clumsy.
I'm sitting at the door and watching that. Just seeing him licking our lass on the neck. Sorry.
I'm sure you'll be fine. You'll have a great time.
Whose neck shall I?
Well,
kiss?
If you were going to nick anyone's keck, if you were going to lick anyone's neck, it would probably be McGiffin, wouldn't it?
No, McGiffin wouldn't like that. You know what
she'd probably chin you.
Oh, get off, mate! Get off!
Carol Vorder. She'd wipe it off.
Vorder's probably.
Yeah, Vorder's.
Yeah.
Yeah, you tell her I said you could.
All right, I will do. I'll go like that. That's from Sarah. Sit back down again. All right, well, that'll be good. So what are you doing now? Are you going to hang out in London or are you
I'm home? Going home today. I'm going home and I'm back on the road tomorrow. So I'm just going to sit in my pants when I get in and nice. Just eat a terrible food and watch my telly.
Nice.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Do you cook?
No, I'm very good with the microwave though.
Right.
I'm like a whiz with a microwave.
You love a cake.
I do love a cake.
Yeah. Yes. And do you have you made cakes?
I made one ever, and it was for my ex-husband. That's not the reason it became ex.
Right.
It's probably one of the reasons, to be fair. And he said, be lovely with a bit of custard on, which is never a compliment.
Oh.
I know. So I never made any.
Would you like to learn?
I could do that, couldn't I? Maybe that I'll do that when I'm painting walls and growing tomatoes. I could learn how to cook.
Well, we should get... So I want someone to come and teach you how to make a cake.
Okay.
Because you'd love that. That'd be a nice thing to do.
Yeah. Well, you see, I don't know if there should always be a journey between me and cake, because I should always have to go out for it. If it was just... My living room and kitchen are open plan. I could probably lean from the sofa and make a cake.
Right.
And then I would never be... I'd have to be lifted out, like on Jerry Springer, by a crane.
But you'd still... It's more effort to make one than it is to walk down to...
Well, I suppose there's the mixing, isn't there?
How does that go?
Build up muscles.
Yeah, well, it's building up my muscles, let me tell you. Yeah. Wowzers. If you'd have been baking more, maybe you wouldn't have got divorced. I don't know.
Be nice.
Sorry,
I've
been nice.
You've been so nice so far.
I've been nice.
Have you ever tried marriage? You haven't, have you?
No.
No, you see. You've not got the bottle, have you?
No.
No.
I'm not cut out for marriage.
Are you not?
No.
Neither am I, though, and I've done it twice.
Well, you've just found that out now, haven't you?
It didn't stop you.
Sarah, lovely to see you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Have a safe trip back home. Don't forget to say, Noel, I loved your fella and that.
I will do, like.
Aye. I hope he starts talking like this. This could be like bedroom voice.
Oh, no.
Sarah, brace yourself.
Just a little bit of sick coming up in the back of my throat there.
Oh. Well, whatever floats your boat, love, really. I'm going to be honest. Thursday night, BBC Two, 10 o'clock. Sarah's TV show is on. Sarah Millican, lovely to meet you.
And you.
Have a lovely day. Sarah Millican, ladies and gentlemen. Very funny. Woo! Steve Wright claps.